hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Kevin West. To order or download additional resources, please visit kevinwest.org.
Can we just stand our feet today and let's just go into worship?
Taking a chance to listen to this. This is fantastic. But to me, it looks like this is what children's ministry is all about. Okay? This right here. Identify, affirm, equip, and release. And you know, what works for kids works for adults too. It's like Jesus said, you know, you're going to come as a child. Yeah. But you know what? You know what the difference is between Olivia and Stephanie? You might know? somebody identified Stephanie as, wow, this girl can sing. And she's going to learn how to play. And then when she started, somebody affirmed, somebody gave her a chance for victories. And I'm not talking about fake victories where you let somebody win. I'm talking about somebody put Stephanie in a position where she would have victories.
Yeah.
And that's what we do with kids. And then we equip them. We equip them to learn to be not just musicians, but music ministers, or whatever kind of minister that they're going to be. And then this is the hard part. This is the hard part. Release. Turn them loose. Let them be all that they can be. Let them be all that they can be, where you learn, wow, I used to think victories were what I could see myself doing. Now it's like, you know what? Every time that I hear a child sing, I see somebody learn how to play. I see a kid laying their hands on somebody, and that person is healed or delivered. It's like, that is what victory is to me. So you know what? I don't know how that we can make this the name of our children's church. Big name. Somebody help me figure out one, but that's what children's church is. And if you haven't listened to this, listen to this. And it's amazing. All right, kids, is anybody ready to go have a good time? All right, let's go have a good time.
Awesome. I also want to mention that Olivia is Mike's daughter. So it's a generational thing up here today. Good job, girl. Excellent.
Compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of a nation. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the find me, all my fears and failures, and fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in, and now I surrender. Mountains. How many believe that? My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Yeah, God. Jesus conquered the grave. Come on, sing it. Savior, Savior. He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine a light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine a light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, he can move the mountains.
My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
Check.
Conquered the grave.
Yeah, go. Yeah.
What happened? What happened? That's a question I began to ask a while ago. I'm going to tell you. I got to go here. He died. You died. He was buried. You were buried. He was quickened, made alive. You were quickened and made alive. He was raised and seated in heavenly places. You were raised and seated in heavenly places. And just as he is, so are you in this world.
Yeah.
If that don't make you want to shout. If that don't make you want to shout. You're not what you do. You are who he says you are. You're not what you do. You are who he says you are.
Cause I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I, because love lifted me. And he will lift you by his love out of the angry waves. Cause he's the master of the sea, and billows his will obey. He, your Savior, wants to be saved today. Because love lifted me. Nothing else. Cause love came down and rescued me. Love came down and set me free. I am yours. I am forever yours. Mountain high or valley low, I sing out and remind my soul, I am yours. I am forever yours. I'll remind myself of all that you've done, and the life I have because of your Son. Sing it out. Love came down and rescued me. Love came down and set me free. I am yours. I am forever yours. Mountain high or valley low, I sing out and remind my soul, my heart is overwhelmed, yeah, and I cannot hear your voice. Yeah. I'll hold on to what is true, though I cannot see. And if the storms of life they come, and the road ahead gets steep, I will lift these hands in faith. I will believe. I remind myself of all that you've done, and the life I have because of your Son. Love came down and rescued me. Love came down and set me free. I am yours. I am forever yours. Mountain high or valley low, I sing out and remind my soul, I am yours. I am forever yours. If my heart is filled with hope and every promise comes my way, when I feel your hands of grace rest upon me, staying desperate for you, God, staying humble at your feet, I will lift these hands in praise. I will believe, yes, I'll remind myself of all that you've done, and the life I have because of your Son.
Love came down and rescued me. Love came down and set me free. I am yours. I am forever yours.
Mountain
high or valley low, I sing out and remind my soul, I am yours. I am forever yours.
For just one moment. Listen to what the Lord is saying deep inside of your heart right now. heard the Lord say that his voice will not be muffled today at all. So whatever is being spoken over your heart right now, you're going to know it's him, because his voice will not muffle. It's going to be clear and concise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Can you sing that out one more time?
Love came down and rescued me. Love came down and set me free. I am yours. I am forever yours. Mountain high or valley low, I sing out and remind my soul, I am yours. I am forever yours.
Father, we thank you and we love you and praise you, God. I pray, Lord, that as we have worshiped, Father, that you're giving clarity in areas that are needing clarity, Father. We lift this up to you today. We worship not because we're trying to get into your presence, God, but we worship you because we've been there. And we worship you because we are coming from a place of rest. And we thank you, God, that only your rest is what truly refreshes and heals and clarifies every single thing, Father. And we ask these things in your awesome name. Praise the Lord. You all may be seated today. Well, good morning. This has been already an incredible time. I get so much out of when Olivia sings, because it's just like what Pat was talking about, that generational thing, that, you know, it starts there. I started singing when I was 3 years old. I was raised on the back of a tour bus, and all my bottles were heated on an old diesel engine. So I tell people all the time, I was raised on Aquanet and diesel fumes. That's what's wrong. So I said it before you could. So anyway, we're so excited everyone's here. I absolutely love this room. There's something about this that I really like. Want to say a huge, Mike Day and Ken Schneider actually were the ones who found this. We knew that we were going to need a place this Sunday, and we were all kind of brainstorming and talking, and Mike said, hey, I got this. And a couple days later, he said, me and Ken went down and found a place. So thank you, Mike. I just appreciate everything that you've done to make this happen today. And Ken, an incredible, incredible man of God. We appreciate so much. Before we move any further, I want to know, is anybody having anything that you need specific prayer for today? Yes, ma'am. What's going on with her? Okay. Absolutely. Absolutely. Sorry. Yeah. Back. All right. Lower or upper? Lower. Okay. Anybody else? Okay. Well, before we move forward, those of you who believe, that should just be a given, all that believe. I want you guys just to raise your hands. You raise your hand. Go to them right now. We're just going to pray over them right now. We believe in prayer. But we believe, more importantly, in the unity that we all come together to see things happen. And we believe that we've been given the ability to walk in it. So we're just going to do that today. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray right now, Lord, for this mother, Lord, that has lost the strength in her body. Father, we just ask right now for strength and wholeness in Jesus' name. The struggle that has put her in a wheelchair, Father, we just ask right now, Lord, that she would be raised up. You begin to strengthen the tendons, the muscles, the nerves, and if there's any nerve damage right now in the name of Jesus, I pray that it's completely removed in Jesus' name. Complete restoration. Complete and total restoration. Father, for this gentleman's back, the lower back, Father, I pray for strength just to come into his body right now, that his spine would align with the kingdom of God right now in Jesus' name. Wholeness, peace, health is in the kingdom. So, Lord, we just pray that deposit into his life, Father. We pray that it would unlock in him right now. I pray that legs begin to straighten. posture begin to straighten. Pray for the spine, that sympathetic trunk that's not firing correctly. Right now, in the name of Jesus, just begin to move. I pray for, let there be light in darkened places. Whenever there's any kind of atrophy, I pray right now that it would begin to flow in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for who you are. Sir, if you could try to do something that you couldn't do before that would possibly make your back hurt, just test it. Does it still hurt? Does it feel better, worse? Feels better. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Continue to receive that healing in Jesus' name. I pray against any compression of any nerves that you might be having in Jesus' name. Everything aligned. I pray there's no crunch. Pray that it's smooth. I pray that the oil of God's anointing would begin to just lubricate every fiber in your back. Oil of joy. I pray that you have joy unspeakable. I pray right now in the name of Jesus that anything that you've been fighting, anything that has been causing you great stress and distress would just begin to be obliterated right now in the name of Jesus. There is nothing that can flow outside of the Holy Spirit's flow in your body. Because I believe that back problem is more than just that. So, Father, I pray that right now there is an oil of joy for mourning. So take away any blanket of mourning off him or his family or his children, his wife, any type of mourning that has come over his family. Father, in the name of Jesus, you are going to exchange it completely for the oil of joy. There is beauty for ashes. Father, I pray, Lord, that there's a dream that has went to ashes in his life, that it's being manifested through this back. There's a dream that has become ashes, but God is going to bring that dream back alive in Jesus' name. Begin to flow and move freely. There is no crunch. There is no, well, I can live with that. It is full and total healing in Jesus' name. Father, we love you and praise you for who you are. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. I heard a blood disorder. Does anybody in here have some type of blood issue? Low blood count, anemia, any type of blood dyscrasias or anything like that? Anybody? Blood sugar, that's it. Okay. Reach your hands this way. We're just going to, what's yours? Diabetes. Okay, that's it then. All right. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray right now for an equal blood sugar, something to level off, level. Find the balance. There's a connection between the mother that's in a wheelchair and this blood, because all it is it's finding that place of sustainability to get back to that place of effectiveness. So, Father, I pray, Lord, that now whenever she checks her blood sugar, it's going to be normal. No more high, no more low. There's going to be a consistent flow, consistency. Level it off right now in Jesus' name. Heal her, Lord. Any of the pancreas issues that aren't producing what they need to produce right now, I say produce and quicken right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I just pray that and gift that. He can give new organs. He can give new pancreases. He can give new lungs, new hearts. We already know he can give a new heart. But I believe he can do it physically. So I pray for her pancreas right now that it would begin to flow in health and anointing right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Anybody having knee problems today? Specifically with your ACL. ACL? It's your left one? Are you left-handed or right-handed? Thank you, Lord. You're left dominant because you don't think like other people think. You've heard that old saying, only left-handed people are those in their right mind. That's true. Satan's attacking that whole side of your body because he knows that's your most efficiency. Whereas it is with ours that are right-handed, that is our right side of power. The left side is your left side of power because you know what your job is to do? You are the protector. of the weak side. So that's why the enemy is hurting your knee. Because you are a protector, and we know that. We've had confirmation. So, Father, right now, we just ask, Lord, that the kingdom that's inside of Mike just begin to flow, and it overtakes. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against the enemy. And we say that right now that it is not the enemy coming in like a flood, but the Spirit of the Lord that is flooding him right now. That the flow of God is stronger than anything that can bind Mike. So we just begin to proclaim a flow in Mike on the whole left side. I pray that all the ACL in his knee would begin to strengthen, that you would begin to build back cartilage where it's supposed to keep things in place. And Father, I pray there will be no dislocations. There will be no more hindrances because that thing is hindering him long enough. So God, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord, also for his left side. I pray for his heart. I pray, Lord, for the blood flow that is coming back from his lungs into his heart, that you would just continue to purify it. And Father, I pray for all the arteries in his neck, especially on his left side, that if there's any blockages or if there's anything that is hindering on his left side that's going to cause complications in the future, you would just begin to flow. I believe with all my heart that you're not going to have any heart problems or any knee problems. Because God is wanting your whole entire left side strengthened because you will be the protector of the weak side. Father, heal him in Jesus' name. Receive that healing. How's it feeling? Better? Good? Good, good. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Your knee? Both of them. What's wrong with your knees? Mommy asking, how old are you? 50. All right, that's good. I believe God gives new meniscus. So, Father, I pray new knees to stand on. God, I just thank you, Lord, for the heritage that this lady carries. And, Father, I thank you, Lord, that there is a completion in you. So, Father, I pray for her knees right now. I pray that if there's any weakness, that you're going to grant stability. And Father, in the name of Jesus, deposit new meniscus. No more tears, no more dislocations, no more issues. And I pray that when she falls asleep, she's not going to have that pain in the back of her knee, Father. There's going to be strength and tendon back there now to hold it in place. God, I thank you for what you're doing in her knees right now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I'm excited. Yes, ma'am. Right knee. What's wrong? What's going on with it? Torn meniscus. Okay. Lay hands on her. You've already received healing. Lay hands on her. Father, I ask for her knee right now in the name of Jesus that she is a testimony, Father. God, she has a faithfulness on her, Father, like I've never seen. There is a faithfulness on her. And Father, I pray right now that there will be a restoral and a renewal of every fiber inside of her, God. I pray right now, Lord, for her bones, her sinew, her tendons, not just in her knee, that it would manifest healing, but God, that you're going to renew those things. I pray for every joint to begin to have more of the fluid that lubricates, that she might flow easier. God, that she is a testimony to your faithfulness and your goodness. So, Father, we ask that right now in the name of Jesus for brand new everything, God. We ask for her knee, but specifically, God, we ask for everything. That there would be no joint, there would be no osteoporosis, there would be no issues with her in Jesus' name. God, we thank you for what you're doing for new meniscus, God, because you're just dealing it out today. You're dealing out new meniscus today, Father, and we ask that there's no tears, Lord, and the next time she has any issues or anything at all, Father, it's because, man, I just feel so good. So I don't know why I feel so good, but I just do. So, Father, I pray for a renewed body in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father. How's it feel? I love it. Does it feel, how are you feeling?
Pretty good.
Feel pretty good. Good. I love it. Can we just praise the Lord right now? Thank you, Lord. We praise your name for who you are. Bless your name. I thank you. We've seen some incredible things happen the last few weeks. Amen. Never, ever want to rob anyone of the opportunity if you're needing something. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for who you are. I praise your name, Jesus. Yeah. All right. Well, let's just move forward in what we're doing. This flow has to be continual throughout the whole thing. I'm still hearing the Lord. Yeah. You're hearing that. I am too. Yeah, depression. He's hearing it. Yeah, I'm hearing that too. Severe.
No shame.
Yeah, there's no shame in it. I'm hearing it. Depressed, frustrated, aggravated, tired. I have a good mind who it is. If you're not ashamed, can you just raise your hand right now? Thank you so much for your honesty. Yes, ma'am. All right, those, I want someone who actively hear, you know what the voice of God sounds like because you almost hear him audibly. How many of you all can be confident to say that? I hear God. I need you guys to come and pray over these two. Is there anybody else that needs this? Because if you're getting out of this, you're going to miss out something really big. Because they're going to impart something that you're probably going to need. Is there anybody else struggling with depression? Okay. There's one more back over here. Who else? Mike, you take care of that one. All right. For those of us, I want to just completely kind of make sure you all understand. One of the reasons why those that can hear the voice of God clearly, most of the time, because with depression, a lot of times it's because there's a filter there and they're not hearing everything that they need to hear. So there is a voice of truth and clarity that is going to be birthed inside of them today. Yeah. Pray Jehovah Shalom Spirit unlocked in here today. The fullness of God flows in this place. So, Father, we thank you for that peace that you're going to create an atmosphere right now. Father, we believe that you are a healer, so now we call upon the peaceful side, Father, that brings all. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray against those things.
The thing we got to hear is that we don't want to pacify issues, okay? When these things come about, we're not praying to just say, oh, God, okay? This thing is an identity crisis of who we really are, because that's what the fight is regardless. It's the image of God. It's the image of God that we have been created in. And then lies, so many lies come between our ears and wants to believe less than that. So, Father, in Jesus' name, right now, thank you for great identity in you, God. We will never fall short of that, God, in Jesus' name. We have the highest value of creation, and you will never, ever feel less than that in Jesus' name. Father, right now, we honor you right now. For a renewed mind of who we are and who she is in Jesus' name. We will not be governed by life. We will not be governed by circumstances and issues. But Father, right now, just cause things happen that does define who we are. So Father, right now in Jesus' name. This is the time and the day we need to rise up above everything. in Jesus' name. The past is gone. Jesus has died. And we thank you, Father, for a resurrected mind, heart, soul, and yes, you are touching bodies. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we thank you. We honor you today. In Jesus' name. I really feel in my heart that we have to know who we are. We have to know who we are. Or life will govern us. We all have our story. We all have circumstances and issues. We do. But none of that can take the place of what he has done already. And we anchor ourselves on the reality of the cross and what he has accomplished. He's already done it. As Chad said, we're seated with him. We're seated with him. I'm going to say it. She said it right. If we have believers in the house, we have to believe that we are seated above everything. Because we have been given that right. Because we were the ones that were created in his image. We were given that privilege. The reason why Satan failed, because he had to go above the only place that he was created for. He was only created for one thing. And when he tried to raise above that, he got cast down. Then guess what God does? He creates us right next to him. And so that's where the enemy wants to attack you. It's not because of issues and circumstances and situations. He wants to attack your image. And when he can get you to think about who you're not and not who you are, we can fall to everything and be under everything. So, Father, raise up today in your people great identity, because that's where we lost it. He came to seek and save that which was lost, and that was our identity in him. And so now he restored that 2,000 years ago. And we believe that today in this place, in Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord. Thank you. All right. I believe there's some great things happened today. We want to move right now into our tithe and offering. And if you do need anything, Rex, can you just take a few of these things? If you're needing an offering envelope, just raise your hand right now. You can make, until the end of the year, you make all your checks payable to KWM or KW Ministries. And till the end of the year, I think we've talked about this before. We're kind of having, before we form the official church, Expression Church of Huntington, we're going to go through the end of the year underneath the covering of Kevin West Ministries. So at the beginning of the year, we will start anew as Expression Church of Huntington. So I want to just make sure you all know those things. Also, I got some great things happening. December the 8th. I love these moments where this flow happens. And December the 8th, we have Higher Ground. How many of y'all have ever heard of them? Yeah. They're coming December the 8th at 11. And they'll be in our 11 o'clock service actually here. And that just dawned on me today that they will be here. So very excited about them. They operate in an incredible flow. If you get a chance, go on iTunes and download their product called One Blood. That's their, I think, their newest CD. It was a couple years old now. It is a phenomenal CD. They have a depth of revelation in their songs. That's just, it's an incredible, incredible, very prophetic flow. So we're excited about them December the 8th, and we've got a lot of great things going to be happening. I want you to continue just to, if you are not on our email list, that's one of the best ways that, for those of you who get the video recap after the service, as well as it kind of gives you an idea of where we're going to be week to week and a lot of updates. If you're not on that, There is a sign-up list. It says on the resource table back there, it says to sign up for the newsletter. We're going to use that today as the email list. So if your email's not on there, go ahead and go back there. Make sure it's on there before you leave, and we'll add you. Because every week, how many of you all have seen those little recap videos that we do? Pastor Kevin does a great job just recapping the service, telling what happened. So that's what we send out to everyone that's on that email list, and it kind of also gives you a ability to see where we're going, what's happening next, to give everybody an idea. So if you're not on that, I encourage you to sign that up. So if you want to just come down this way, and here is our offering basket, if you want to just bring your offerings forward today, and then go ahead and get that video ready. But I want don't start it till they sit down, because I really want everybody to enjoy this, because it's really good.
I know that each church has its own worship style, you know, which is cool. Some people are more expressive in worship, some people more subtle, and it's all good. I go to a church that's pretty expressive in worship. It's a hand-raising church. That's what it is, right? That's what, you know. Anybody here go to a hand-raising church? Am I here? Sweet. Who here does not go to a hand-raising church? Some of you are trying. You're like, I can't. I want to, Tim. I need to get some momentum. Totally cool. But hey, if you're not used to going to a hand-raising church, you want to go and join us, feel free to join us, but don't feel like you got to join right in, okay? Start slow. We got a lot of different hand raises that we use. We actually have names for our hand raises. So I'm going to walk you through real quick, okay, what they are, just to let you know. Say you're at my church, music is rocking. Start slow. Hands in the pockets, little elbow flap. You're fine. Very subtle. Get warmed up. Get your heart rate up. When you're warmed up, start with the first one. Ready? Carry the TV. Carry the TV. That's our first one. Very subtle. Go to big screen. Big screen, a little wider. Next one's my fish was this big. My fish was this big. If you're a liar, you go out there. That's fine. Don't worry about it. Jesus loves you. Grace. Next one's hold my baby. Hold my baby. Got dueling light bulbs. That's our next one, dueling light bulbs. We got goalpost. Everybody knows goalpost. Throw in a heartburn. A lot of people like to do heartburn. Double heartburn, right back to goalpost. What's my favorite? Mufasa. Mufasa, that's my favorite.
The circle of life.
Tim, can you go higher? Yes, you can. You can take one hand, go a bunch of different stuff. Pointer, hatchet, schoolroom. Release the doves, give the Lord a high five, press it out. A lot of women like to wash the window, wash the window. And when you're comfortable there, go for the big three. Village people, Rocky, touchdown. There you go, there's your big three.
It's okay to laugh in church, isn't it? It's okay to heal in church. Might as well laugh. Laughter is good like a medicine. That's what it says. y'all feel the presence of the Lord here today? Isn't it about the Spirit flowing? Is that what this is all about? Honestly, we come together, get equipped, get our needs met, get equipped, and see what God is doing and moving in the midst of the people. When we have those moments like Steph was having a few moments ago just at the beginning when she said, hey, does anybody have a need? Our natural reaction is to think it's for somebody else. I want you to become anticipating when you come in that, okay, when they have prayer, somebody's going to pray for me. Because last week we had it was a gland that in the throat was, the lady couldn't even swallow. She's here in the back today. She couldn't swallow. While they were praying, it cleared up. right? Pastor Ronnie was praying with somebody, and others, from a guy in the back. He couldn't hardly move his back, and he was able to move his back at the end, right at the end of the prayer. So the idea is to get the needs met. So when you come in with the ailment, because it says pray for one another, and when you get your needs met, you get prayed for, expect healed in the moment, right? Expect it. Because what begins to happen if we're not careful, we could take hours and hours and hours and call out things by the word of knowledge. But if you already know it, she doesn't need to have the word of knowledge. Is that okay? If you already know you have a problem, a knee problem, and she's calling for prayer, then why make her operate in the spirit? Just say, I got a knee problem. And you know what? She's going to pray. They're going to pray. You're going to get healed. Right? What I'm trying to do is cut through and just give some instruction to cut through a little bit of some of the things, because God wants to take us deeper into this thing where the voice is becoming clearer rather than us work, because the world is waiting to see a manifestation of the sons of God and healing and demonstration of power of the Spirit out there. They're waiting to see it. So we want to make sure that here we all are on the same playing field where we don't have to exercise a lot of that when we're on the same team. It'd be like a coach coming in from the sideline, okay? And the coach is calling a play. The guy runs the play in, and the quarterback's standing there waiting on him. And the guy goes, what do you think it is? What do you think? Well, I think we're going to run a pass. Nope, try again. Right? And the real issue is, if you already know that, you come anticipating, because the Bible's clear, let's pray for one another. And we're going to expect people to get prayed for. And then we'll begin to operate in those things. There may be some things that we would operate in the gifts, but we're going to mature to another level. The body of Christ is maturing to another level, whereas we're moving. Now, if you're waiting for God and the Lord speaks to you, that says, you know, I'm not going to say anything, I'm not supposed to say anything here, and it gets called out, it can be confirmation to you. So I don't want to deny that, right? But if we're on the same team, let's expect prayer to work. But let's be careful not to get caught up in the excitement of the words of knowledge and get caught up in the manifestation of the healed person. Is that okay? Is that all right? Because if we're not careful, we can be very careful. We can get caught up in the move of this thing. And she operates at this all the time. Pastor Ronnie, I've watched him, Michael, they operate in it all the time. So we'd be in a service, and we could go on and on and on and on and on for 2 hours and be praying for the needs, when really she qualified it at the very beginning, and she said, who has a need? And see, there's some of you in here right now that still didn't do that, and you still have a need, and you say, God, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be on the spot. And I understand that, and I'm not putting that. I'm just trying to give some instruction on how we can move further and deeper into the spirit of the thing, where we can take this out there. Is that okay? Because, see, if you grew up in a church like many of us did, where there was no movement of the Spirit, then what happens is when there's a move, you get excited about it because it's brand new and you feel caught up in the presence of the Lord. But some of us have grown up in the churches where there is the Spirit moves. That can't be our pinnacle. That's got to be where we begin. Because if we really want to see livers and organs renewed, born again, or your brand new creative miracles happen, we're going to need to grow beyond the smaller things. Is that okay? I want you so equipped that when somebody says, you're looking for things when you're out there in the business world or in the marketplace, and somebody says, you just hear somebody say, oh, I hurt my back. What? Let me give you an example. And the reason this is on my heart today is as I was watching her flow in the Spirit, and she does this extremely well. We were in Ravenswood, West Virginia, and she starts calling out things, and she looks at the guy in the back. She says, you're a business guy. And I'm thinking, well, you've got all these people watching you, and you just said that guy's a business guy. You either going to be a prophet tonight or a prophetess, or you're a false prophet. It's going to be real clear. There, you're either right or wrong on this one. You're a business guy. And I'm going, oh, God. He goes, yes, I am. And I went, yes. Yeah. I was pulling. Yes. And then she goes on and reads his mail. And then his wife was involved. And then next thing you know, there came a confidence because people get to draw from it. You see what I'm saying? That should be every one of us. Because she said, see, go back and trace this. We're just going to, can we just learn a little bit today? When she was on the keyboard, she said this: there is going to be a clear voice of God, not muffled, over each heart. Right? He spoke. That wasn't just to get us our attention to fill in. That was direction from the Holy Spirit that was teaching us how to hear his voice. Boom, there it was. Then, if you need prayer, if you have something wrong, anything like that, gosh, now's the time. Why? Because he's already moving over your heart. And now he's activating people. There's people, faith-filled people here, and we see stuff happen. It is happening. We are watching. We prayed for Jocelyn's daughter a couple of weeks ago, 2 weeks in a row, and Steph told me this yesterday that that situation completely has turned around, 100%. Give that body back. So okay, I guess what I'm saying is I had an incident last night. Lisa's not here this morning. She is home with Caden and Lakin. Both are sick. Lakin has a fever, and Caden woke up in the middle of the night throwing up. And when he threw up, I'm kind of convicted by this. This is why I'm going to just, confession is good for the soul. So he wakes up in the middle of the night and throwing up. He calls it throwing out. He says, throw it out. So he threw out and changed it all around and cleaned him up. He goes back to sleep and wakes up again about an hour later and throws out again. And then about 6 o'clock this morning, he throws out one more time. And then I said, let's pray. And he said, why didn't you do that a couple of hours ago? That's the truth. And you know what he did? He didn't throw up at all. And I was leaving the house. He said, Dad, if you had prayed earlier, I wouldn't have had to throw out those last two times. And then I'm sitting here watching, and I'm thinking, okay, God, you're not just speaking to them. You're speaking to all of us, okay? So there is a clarion call right now where God is moving on the people because we are truly his representatives, and that can't be just a concept. It has to be a reality. And we've got to begin to depend on a prayer being answered simply because God works through us and flows through us. We have to become that people, and knowing that it's not just about, when we all come together and have an incredible atmosphere and we walk away and see some great things, it ought to be the norm, not the unusual. Is that okay? That's critical where we're living. And let me tell you why it's critical. And I didn't even know why I read the scripture this morning. And Ken, you don't have this because I read it when Caden convicted me. But I'm going to read this. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 15. He says this. He says a lot of things in Romans chapter 15. Romans 15, start with 13. It says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you are also full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed. Listen to this. Here's the verse. Through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Lyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, from Jerusalem to Lycrum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. It's not fully preached without the signs, wonders, and the mighty power of the Spirit of God. It's preached, but not fully preached. I didn't come to you, Paul said, in words of man's wisdom, enticing words of man's wisdom, but the power and demonstration of the power of the Spirit. Now, what has happened in many times, some of us Pentecostal flair people, because I grew up in a Pentecostal church, we get out here a little bit and we become a little not sensible to the people because we're out here chasing something, and we, because of our lack of our wisdom sometimes, we don't get to explain where people are. So they don't, people that are coming from denominational backgrounds do not understand, so they just think we're weird. Okay? All right? But God's given us wisdom today where we can actually, because it's not in, just words only. It's a demonstration and power of the Spirit, and it is in wisdom. So we need to take the time to bring people along as we mature and equip in the Spirit, right? See, if we're not a supernatural people invading impossible life situations and operating in a dimension, then we're a really good rotary. We're a really strong Kiwanis Club. That makes sense? And that aspect of it we want. We want a good community. They have great community, by the way. So that's a good thing. But what really separates us and pulls us different than just a club or a social group is the ability to hear the voice of God and activate his voice and release it in situations that are absolutely impossible to solve or resolve in any other case other than by the power of the Spirit. Absent of that, we have nothing but an argument against all the people of the world. You see what I mean? So it has to become a way of life and practical in our approach to life. It has to. And it has to become for all of us to operate in those supernatural operating gifts of the Spirit. And we're going to do that. That's what God has called us to do. There is a complete manifestation right now of God's presence all over this place. I mean, did you all feel that when she was moving like that? Did you guys feel the presence of the Lord? Okay. How many felt it shift immediately when she said, okay, we're going to move right along? How many felt like she just killed it? Honestly, you raise your hand. All right? You know who instructed her to do that? I did. Do you know why I did that? So I could do this. Is that okay? She was conflicted. She was going, I'm feeling the Spirit. I said, I know, I'm feeling that. I feel we got to instruct. Okay? We're moving. We're going to the next place as a body of people. Right? The pinnacle is not that somebody's, it's healed. That's the beginning to mobilize that they get healed, that he is known to them as he is known to us, right? We okay with this? I'm just giving you some instruction. That's why we played a joke, because I knew I was going to give you more instruction. I'm telling you guys, I got a scripture I'm going to read here in a minute. There is an outpouring of God's presence all over the earth right now, like never before. It's what you have prayed on. It's what I prayed for. It's what Pat teaches the kids. I mean, that's what Pat tells the kids. Caden looks at me and calls me out. He's 5. They're going to call us out. You know why? Because they're going to get raised in. There are children right now that have been raised in church, have fallen away, have gone out into the business world, out into the world themselves. And I mark this down. You're going to see this great influx. It's going to be an exodus from the world and an exodus from the religious system, and they're going to come to a place where there is the reality of life of Christ operating in the church. You're going to see it. It's already beginning to happen. God is moving on their hearts. He's already doing it because the prayers have gone up. Just like Jocelyn's daughter, prayers went up. She goes to church. She gets it right. She comes home and changes and leaves in that situation. Why? Because the prayer went up. Her heart is already ready for it. She was waiting for the moment for it to happen. Your sons, your daughters, your husbands, your wives, your aunts, your uncles, your moms, and your dads, that's all beginning to happen. Because the mask is coming off of the body, of the face of Christ, to where they see a reality of who he really is. Because we all have issues. We all have ailments, right? And I'm telling you, God wants that to be the beginning and not our destination. I just want us to see him further and deeper and better than what we've experienced him so far. He could put a marriage back together like that. He can reconcile family situations just like that. He can cause people's heart that's hardened out into the world, sitting in places they don't even need to be, and God can turn their hearts just like that. He can take a drug addict, an alcoholic, somebody that's so far gone that it looks like they're done, they're finished, and he can turn them around just like that. Jesus has a one-step program. Hallelujah. Nothing wrong with the others, and they have their place, and we're going to utilize them, right? But if that becomes our default, if Jesus walked right here in the middle of this room, he came right down here, and he sit right here, and he said, he goes, hey, I'm Jesus, guys. What do y'all need? Every one of us, once we got past what he looked like, we would believe he, once we knew it was him, we believe he could do anything we ask of him. Would you all agree with that? Yeah. Anything. We're representing him. We are. My first default button should have been praying for Caden when he threw out the first time. You know what I was thinking about? Cleaning it up. Oh, this is good. This is good. We're growing. We're growing up. The world is going to see a real Jesus. They're going to see it because we're going to see it first. It's going to be automatic. Not did it happen or did it not happen or was it going to happen? Was it? I mean, that's why she was doing this. She was going, let's check your back. See, a lot of times what we do is we just send you back out into the crowd. We pray, have an altar call. We pray. We may do that too. That when there's masses of people, but when you're praying for them, you send them back, and then you never really know. Hey, we want to know. I mean, he either heals or he didn't heal. He either restored or he didn't restore. The proof is right, has to be in the put. It's time we get the measurements of what he died for. He died to restore and reconcile, right? He deserves what he get, what he paid for. And I'm just enough believing in him anymore. And when you have five-year-olds calling you out, you need to take notice. You know what I'm saying? Hey, this is real. I mean, God is moving. This is sweeping all across the land. And I'm telling you, here's why we have to get to this place first. Because our next step is that you're not going to pray. You're going to do it. He sent the 70 guys out. He gave them the power of the Spirit. And he said, now go heal the sick. He didn't say pray for the sick. He said heal the sick. Well, we know Jesus. I'm not the healer. Jesus is the healer. Well, I told you about this before. I preached a funeral on a suicide. All right? And I was in the back of the church sitting in the hallway crying my eyes out because I didn't want to do it. I had half the people wanting to send him to hell, half the people wanting him to go to heaven. And I was losing my mind. And I was in the back, and I just had my head down. And I said, oh, my God, what am I going to do? And I remember saying these words, God, come down here and do this yourself. Man, I wish you'd just come in here and do this yourself. He goes, no, you're my representative. You are going to represent me today. And I said, well, Lord, I don't know his life. I don't know how it all worked. And he says, I'm not asking you to do that. Tell him my life. Tell them what I thought about him. You don't know how he responded to me, but you do know how I responded and how I felt towards him. Right? So I go out, and I had some confidence, but on my way out the door, I felt, okay. He says, by the way, you represented me not just in funerals and weddings. You represent me when you're at the bank, when you're at Walmart, when you're at the grocery store, when you're at the gas station, wherever you are. That why is it that you think you're just officiating because you have an ordination and a certificate that somebody's ordained you when I have sanctioned you with my Spirit dwelling in you to see for me and be for me everywhere you go? It's not just at a funeral. It's just not at a wedding. It's just not on a ceremonial occasion. you always should know how I feel towards those people. Everywhere you go, I need you to be those set of eyes. So it changed my whole perspective on how this thing is supposed to be. And what happened is I began to see him actively involved in the lives of people. He's very active. He wants to be even more active. And Paul said it this way, it's not fully preached without the signs and wonders and the power of the Spirit. The signs and wonders aren't something we're seeking. Because he goes on to say this, I didn't go to these other places where the foundation wasn't right and it was built on another foundation. I didn't preach there. If it's built on Christ and him crucified, you've heard it from Michael, you heard it from Steph, you heard it from Chad. The finished work, it's that he died, he was buried, he was raised, he's seated, he's now in us, and now we're working and expressing him everywhere we go. From that perspective, every issue of life is under our feet. But only if we know it and we live from it. Does that make sense? Wow. I didn't mean to be so heavy this morning, but I had a kid thrown out. You know what I'm saying? I just feel something's burning inside of me because she's operating in a gift. She's more than a worship leader. Pastor Ronnie, I watched him on at the awakening the other night. Revelation coming forward. Crazy. I know Craig in the back. Craig is a businessman in town, and Craig runs up and down these lots of this whole county doing a lot of work. But he also travels a lot because he's a race car driver, and he's a part of a team. But Craig is a minister because he would call me all the time and say, I got this situation. I know this situation over here. And he's out there ministering every day while he's doing his business. Now, when I begin to see that, and I look around the room, and I know most of you, I mean, probably all of you, and I'm looking at this, and you're doing the exact same thing every day. So when we come into a gathering like this, we want to experience his presence in a tangible way. And we want to be equipped so when we're released out back into the world, back out into our domain and our influence of sphere of influence, that there's nothing that we face, nothing, that catches us off guard or causes us to be in fear. Right? And then when we hit something hits us in our life, and maybe a sickness or something pops at you, guess what we have? You want to reach out to those that are around you, that are faith-filled, that you know have a history of the first thing they do is activate from the throne. Right? Hey, this is good stuff. We're going somewhere. This is good stuff. Because the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom, the gifts of the Spirit are going to be an active part of your life. And you're going to lose the tag in saying it was in Jesus' name. Because you're going to go forth in Jesus' name. Even though you could say it, the reality of it is the revelation you go in. It's not the formula. It's the presence that you carry. Is that right? Are we okay? This is the real deal. When the man was sitting at the gate called Beautiful, and Peter and John come by, and they were on the way to prayer, they looked down, and all my life I've heard it said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. I really believe if you read that, he was saying this to the man, you know, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that guy. I think he was making a reference to the guy to hear that he was referencing the authority of which he gets to come up was in a guy from Nazareth that he has heard about. It wasn't the fact that he said in the name of Jesus that activated something and caused some magical words to pop from heaven and this guy jump up. It was the man. What happened was the man didn't know what authority they were operating from. That makes sense? So he references where he was, who he was, and then the man says, you have that authority, the one that you crucified. Then Peter gets up, and the best sermon in the Bible is Peter preaching, right? Peter's preaching on the day of Pentecost, preached a powerful sermon, but it wasn't the sermon he was preaching. He was explaining what was happening in the current moment. Our best sermons today, guys, can't be just from the Bible.
Oh.
That's tough. Our best sermons have to reference the Bible, but be current revelation of current life flowing from us. Is that good? It has to be. Because it's more than just history. It's current and futuristic. It's the kingdom yesterday, the kingdom today, and the kingdom forever. And if our best testimony is what Peter and John did, we have not increased in revelation like we should have. We all right? I feel like I need to do this real fast. I'm pumped because I'm seeing a body be immobilized. I am. I'm watching it. Look on Facebook. Watch some of the stuff that's coming forward. You know, there's a religious system that's still mimicking and growling, but in the midst of the growl, there's a reality of life that's growing up in a body of people that are going to walk in the truth of this thing. It is. Because we're all going to have struggles and we're all going to have trials. But in the midst of that, and when our circumstances can't change and you've done everything you know to do, you're still going to express Him in the midst of your thing. Right? But our expectation has to be like Paul and Silas in jail, right? In prison. And they're singing praises to God. And then I know many, I preached this sermon before. They praise God and the place began to quake. So you know what we do? We praise God thinking it was going to, everything's going to start quaking, right? That would be formula. We got to know what they knew and praise from where they praise from to see the quake that they got quaked. Okay? So they're in prison. And all of a sudden, this thing starts, the place opens up, and the jailer gets scared, right? And what happens? Paul says, we're not going anywhere. We'll stay right here. The doors opened up. They were able to leave, but they looked at the guy, and they said, no, we're going to stay right here because your whole household is going to get saved. This is for you and your household, right? So when that begins to happen, why did Paul and Silas say that? Why would they think, this is our opportunity? Their current circumstances wasn't greater than their impact of the kingdom that went beyond them. That's my whole point today, is that, man, my passion for you and me is to get healed and set free and whole. Why? So we can impact those people that need to be impacted. See, it's more than humanitarian. See, we can give, I really see food pantries, and I see all these things we're going to do for people in the community. We're going to have something right downtown. We're going to minister to every sect of society, you know, the up and outers and the down and outers, and no respect to person. Okay? We're going to get them all. And then the ones that think they're okay, we'll go after them too. Okay? But the reality of it is we just can't hand them things and think that we feel good about ourselves. We got to give them the real thing, true life. Is that okay? Man, we do. Rod and Julie have this ministry over in Belize, over in Central America, and we help minister over there and build the churches, and there's businesses, sewing machine factories that are going on like crazy over there. Wonderful. I've been over there 3 or 4 times and ministered and been a part of that. And it's a great thing that we're going to do. But with that being a part of what we do, our impact is going to be just as great here as it is going to be there. And when Rod gets a burden, a call to Belize, we're going to join forces with Rod. But we're not going to just look for people to send stuff to while Fourth Avenue goes to hell. Are we okay with that? You see what I'm saying? And just because it's easy just to send them something, we want to send people. If we're going to send anybody, it's going to be a body, a representative. Oh, I didn't mean to open this all up like this. I'm just burning inside of me today. We're going to be here through the rest of the year, by the way, this place, if that's okay with you all. And we, I felt like we were at 4 weeks at High Lawn. We had a meeting with the High Lawn Baptist. We thought we were meeting with the board, and we actually met with only two of them. They're actually kind of divided in their approach, but the influence won out, and they're going to sell at an auction December 12th. And we, you know, St. Mary's is in the running, but we're not. St. Mary's is not our issue. We're not getting caught up in all of that. In fact, you know, we believe that somehow that's going to get redeemed. We're contending for the heritage of that place, whether we get it or somebody else gets it. And we're just believing that God's going to do something. But there's an attitude that has raised up in the body, and it's not just in the body; it's in the secular world as well, out in the business community and politics and government. It's an approach that really feels like that they know the best way, and it abandons the heritage and the history of the founding fathers of things which we were built on. You see what I'm saying? And it's just throw away 100 years. Now this is just not there. You know, it's happening in a lot of places. We've had some prophetic words this week even that have told us this is kind of how the country is even moving. That, you know, our way is better. We know the best way. But if it doesn't dig an ancient well, and spring doesn't come up from the dry land that's been covered up, it's not from him. He makes all things new, but he doesn't make new things. Is that safe? Is that okay? And I know I'm just shotgunning here, but I'm just feeling the spirit because I'm hearing things in the spirit right now too. And I promise you, many of you are. I can see it in your face. Some of you right now are hearing the voice of the Lord just popping like popcorn in here. How many of you really want to see God do his thing across the earth? I mean, how many of you really want to see it? How many of you believe that he has kept you alive for such a time as this? How many of you know that those prophecies that have been spoken over you for years and years and years did not hit the ground? They did not just fall to the ground. They did not. God is redeeming every one of those things that are spoken over our lives. And what we've got to do is we've got to get past ourselves and get into what he is all about. And when we get past ourselves into him, this thing begins to explode out there. So we have a healthy body mobilizing healthy people, reaching a community that's broken that becomes healthy. We don't have the opportunity anymore to diagnose the city and the community and the families without being prescriptive on what they need to put them back together. It's not about what we're against. It's what we're for. Right? All right. Let me read this scripture, then I'll close. Isaiah 44. Ken, if you could put that up there real quick. You don't mind that scripture this morning? He's fast. I don't even know why I bring my Bible. Isaiah 44:2 says, "Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou Jezreel, whom I have chosen." Verse 3. Look at this. "For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring." That's what's happening in the earth today. There has been a thirsty people for a long time. And people manifest thirst in different ways. Sometimes we're asking for water. Sometimes we don't even know we're thirsty. And we're expressing it in other ways. Sometimes it comes out in attitude. Right? Sometimes it comes out in depression. Sometimes it comes out in oppression. Sometimes it comes out in just isolation and being away from everybody. Sometimes it just comes out, it manifests different ways. But in that thirst, the sovereign God has heard the prayers of the people. And the prayers of the people is this: "I will pour water upon him that are thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground, I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring." That's your posterity, that's your children, that's your heritage, that's your... Now, he's about generations. He's about from here to then. And then when you get to then, there'll be another then. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He is pouring out his spirit. He's looking for those dry people. He's found a dry people. But what he's doing in the midst of that is it's a reality of him where he is expressed in his fullness, not a measure and a portion. He will pour it upon thy seed. Well, who is the seed in the ground? It's Jesus the Christ is the seed. And the seed dwells in you and me. So he pours his spirit upon the seed. And when Jesus come up out of that water in the Jordan River, John the Baptist himself was the last priest of the Levitical priesthood. He pointed to Jesus and he said, "This is the, behold the Lamb of God who take away the sins of the world." It was a picture of Joshua crossing the children of Israel over the Jordan River when the priest carried the ark. And Joshua said, "Keep your eye on the ark, which is the presence of God. And as long as the presence is in front of you, you follow the presence. And as the presence goes, you go with it. Don't look at where your feet touch. Don't look it to your right or don't look to your left. Just know that the presence is on the ark. Jesus is that ark. John the Baptist pointed to the ark. Joshua told him to go forward. Today, Jesus lives in us. The Spirit of God dwells in us. We are his ark. He is in us. We are the ark of the covenant. Why? He is in us. Are you okay with that? So as we transition, the world cannot cross over unless we're out in front of them preparing the way. And our responsibility is to activate and carry the very presence of God himself. And we've gone through a long dry ground, a long dry drought. It's been famine and it's been a drought. It's been a famine and it's been a drought. The country has been in famine and it's been in drought. But I got news for you. I'm here to proclaim today that what she did a few moments ago is on your life too. And you're going to begin to operate and activate in operating of the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit, its character and its the gifts. You're going to begin to operate in things that you never, ever thought that you would operate. You thought you would admire it in somebody else. And I'm telling you, the very thing that you've admired is the very thing that's on your life. And you don't have to prerequisite by saying or preface it by saying, "I'm going to operate in the gift of the Spirit right now." You just walk in the Spirit and you speak into their life. And when they walk by you and you walk by them, they've had that encounter with you. You look back and they look back and they say, "Surely I was in the presence of the Lord and I didn't even know it." Stand to your feet. I'm telling you. Place your hands on your heart. Who wants that? First of all, just raise your hand. Who wants the fullness of who he is? You're not playing games. I know you all. I know you wouldn't even be here today if you were playing. You're not playing games. And the kids are coming in the back door right there. That's what convicted me this morning. The little five-year-old said, "Dad, I wouldn't have had to throw out two other times if you'd have prayed the first time." Listen, guys. That's our posterity. That's our generations right back there, right? That's the ones. But they're going to see us demonstrate it, and they're going to catch it from us. And they're going to begin to activate into their city, into their school systems, and everywhere they go. Father, I pray for these people today. I want you to begin to just pray right now for yourself that God would unlock everything within you. Everything. Everything within you. Unlock it. Father, in Jesus' name, I prophesy to this group of people today that they are your royal priesthood, a peculiar people, a chosen generation to represent the kingdom of God, Christ as King, in their daily life. I say, God, give them boldness and courage not to just go forward with a bull in a china shop. Not at all. Now go forward, God, in the power of your spirit, in humility, with love and compassion everywhere they go. Not creating recklessness, abandonment. No, no, no. I'm talking about with wisdom and guidance, Lord, everywhere they go. Now, Father, I pray every situation that they have in their life that's hindering them, I say, God, remove it now. If it's physical, heal them. If it's emotional, touch them. If it's relational, fix it. We accept the call, Lord. We accept the call. I thank you for those gifts that are in this house today. I thank you for the people, Lord, that you've sent and gathered together. And I say, God, let the next 30 days be a revolution by the power of the Spirit of Almighty God. I speak that in Jesus' name. And as they go forward in the power of your name, I say, bless them. Bless them coming, bless them going, blessed in the city, blessed in the field. They're the head, they're not the tail. They're above only, and they're not beneath. And everything, God, that you have for them, let them fall in it. Let them stumble in it. And let them experience and know the goodness and the favor of our King. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. God bless you guys. We'll see you next Sunday at 11 o'clock right here.